everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
I didn't even hear what was wrong with that.
Yeah, well, whatever. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 29.
29. Again.
Yes, it's again. Yeah, the movie night really fucked us up.
We've had a few times where we record an episode and then we have to redo it because we were too awesome for our own good.
Well, the episode was okay. We just ran into life.
Yeah. Fuck a whole bunch of that.
Yeah. I'm almost at the point where life is going to even out for me again. I'm almost done buying and selling a house, so.
And all of the birthdays for the year, at least the important ones, are over, and Halloween is almost over. So then we can just get back to not caring about regular shit going on in the year.
Yeah, yeah. Things will calm down a little bit more once in the next couple days here. But anyways, movie night.
I'd say it was a pretty big success.
Yeah, I'd say it was a resounding success.
We had our first ever Who Goes There podcast Frights and Pints movie night.
That
where
name.
Right? I think it's pretty fucking clever. We took over a bar in San Diego State University area, and we showed Trick or Treat on a projector outside, and it was really cool, and we want to thank everybody who showed up, and because it was such a big success, we are now going to be able to do that on a monthly basis. So if you're in the San Diego area, check out our Facebook or our webpage, whogoestherepodcast.com, for more info on upcoming Frights and Pints events.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's fucking movies. Come out and have beers.
Yeah. Of awesomeness. There's going to be horror actors and directors and I think something like 40 films and tons of parties, and we are the official podcast of the Fantastic Horror Film Fest, in case you haven't heard us say that 1,000 times.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah. But I'm actually really stoked for Halloween, man. Like, I can't wait. I've got my costume all set.
You have, like, multiple costumes. You're like fucking Cher.
Well, dude... This is my fucking Christmas, man. This is the one time of year where I get to, like, do what I want to do, and I get to just have, like, tons of fun. And I am going as the killer from Motel Hell this year. I've got
nice.
My super sweet oversized pig head mask and my overalls that I've never worn a pair of overalls in my life.
Speaking of overalls, you know how I'd asked you to... sorry to segue so harshly away from your awesome costume.
Brick through a window, bud.
Well, so I had asked you to borrow your Killer Clown from Outer Space for work. I was completely overridden.
They said no?
So get this, dude. My fucking office, they're doing a Disney theme for the costumes.
Was there any Disney movie that had a clown in it?
That's what I was thinking Dumbo.
Well, there you go.
But,
you'd be like, no, I'm just the clown from Dumbo.
Right, that's the angle that I was going for, but I don't think the boss is going for it.
I think you can pull it off. Like, maybe if you just have, like, a Mickey Mouse pin on your chest or something, because that Killer Clowns from Outer Space costume is awesome.
It is. Do you have the full suit, or do you stop short of that?
No, I have the hands and I have the face. But speaking of clowns, dude, did you hear about that town up by Bakersfield, California, that just has creepy clowns just walking the street?
Yeah.
Apparently, from what I've heard, it started as an art project where this guy and his wife were just going out in the street and taking pictures, and people are freaked the fuck out. Like, they're just taking pictures everywhere of these creepy looking clowns just holding balloons, just standing in public places.
Yeah, and they do it for a while too, like a couple hours at a time, right?
That sounds like the most brilliant fucking idea. I'm really tempted to finish off my Killer Clown outfit and just go stand around downtown San Diego, like in a clown costume on not Halloween.
That's a good way to get bum raped.
You know, worse things could happen.
It's true,
I guess. But you know what else is happening on Halloween? The town, I don't know if you knew, but The Town That Dreaded Sundown, it's a 70s movie, a slasher flick, really fucking good, is being remade, and normally we hate remakes here,
But this one is supposed to be a hardcore R rating, and it's premiering in theaters like now, and it's going to premiere on television on Epix on Halloween. So if you guys have Epix, make sure to check out the remake of The Town That Dreaded Sundown. I am fully behind this movie because I love the original, and if it manages to be more fucked up than the original, then it's going to be tits.
Okay. Real quick, I had initially had high hopes with Annabelle.
Oh, did you see it?
No, so I wanted to see it. I
we did too. We kept making plans to go, and it just never happened.
Well, and not only that, but everything I've been hearing about it is just no bueno.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like the.
But to be fair, dude, we kind of have to go against what everyone says. Like, think about it. Every horror movie where somebody says it's good, Oculus, Drag Me to Hell.
Hey, I like Drag Me to Hell.
I mean, not Drag Me to Hell, Deliver Us from Evil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big fat turds. But every horror movie that people don't like, usually we love.
This is true.
For one reason or another.
Yeah, this is true.
But I was really looking forward to Annabelle because it looked like it was going to be a lot more creepy. And unfortunately, I heard that it doesn't center as much around the doll as you would hope.
Yeah. So what I've been hearing is that when you see the poster and when you see the trailer, you kind of have this assumption that Annabelle is the doll and it's gonna get real chucky and Annabelle's gonna be running around killing people, right?
Right.
Well,
maybe not killing people, but at least, like, the demon was in the doll. At least that's what I gathered.
Right. So what I've heard is that there's a demon that manipulates the doll. The doll isn't necessarily possessed by the demon, but it's sort of like...
So it's essentially like a half-assed poltergeist.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I'm not about that at all.
No, I'm not about it either. I kind of want to leave it.
Yeah, I'm actually really disappointed. I mean, there's usually October is a hotbed for horror movies, yeah. And this year not so much.
Well, we kind of said the same thing last year too. Around this time, it was really lacking.
Well, I feel like we're getting to a point where horror is a lot more mainstream than it used to be. So we're getting a lot of the horror movies in the summer when the blockbusters come. Like Conjuring came. I personally didn't like Conjuring, but it came out around Halloween, in the summer last year, and that was one of the bigger movies of the year.
I liked The Conjuring. I thought it was pretty decent.
You know, I'm going to give it another shot. Like, you know me, I go into movies, and if I don't like it initially, like, I just put up this flag of hate, and I stand by my flag, but I can tell you one thing I do love, and that's fucking Trick or Treat. And like we said, we showed that as our Frights and Pints. And for all of you giant fucking nerds like me and George, Waxworks Records is releasing the official the official Trick or Treat soundtrack on vinyl. And there's so many variants. There's a really awesome, like, black and orange swirl. There's a candy corn looking one, which is the one I personally want. And there's two different picture discs where one of them has Sam's bag face on one side and his pumpkin face on the other, and one of them has his trademark sucker on one side as a hole and then the sucker with a bite out of it on the other side.
That's pretty cool.
And if I had an extra $100 to just throw in the crapper, I would buy all of them.
What are they going for? 25 a piece?
I'm guessing 25, but they're beautiful, man. And like you've said, the picture discs probably sound like shit.
Well, in general, they do. It's just because the way they do picture discs is that it's your puck of vinyl plastic, and then they put an actual
like another layer on top of it.
Paper. And then another layer on top of it. So they generally don't sound as good as regular
albums. To me, though, picture discs aren't really meant to be played. I feel like if you play picture discs, you're kind of missing the point. I mean, I bought The Last House on the Left picture disc from Record Store Day. I never, ever plan on listening to that. Never. Like, I bought it because it's a really cool thing to collect. It's limited edition. And the art is fucking beautiful, and I love Last House on the Left, the original, not that 2000 whatever piece of shit remake. But
well, I'm going to sound like a total jackhole here, but one of the reasons I do buy vinyl, and I did pick up the Shaun of the Dead.
You did. Score. You were really fucking happy about
that. Yeah, I was super happy. I think the reason why I listen or buy vinyl, I think it's, I don't know, man. Not. I'm not gonna circle jerk about like it sounds so much better and the warmth and the clarity. I will
circle jerk the warmth and the clarity.
I like the ritual of it. That's what it is for me, because now, you know, when you listen to music, you have your iPod and it's like skip.
Oh my god. I do the same thing. It's like, why do I put all this music on if I don't ever want to listen to any of it?
Yeah, and so I know, I think the ritual of, you know, taking a record out of the sleeve and making sure it's all cleaned up.
Doing the little spin between both hands before you put it down.
Yeah. I think all that shit is part of it, and that's why I buy vinyl, baby.
You know, and Mikey, and for those of you who don't know the name Mikey, he hosted a handful of episodes with us before.
I'm losing all memory of Mikey anymore.
You know, so am I. But he made the comment when I bought the Cannibal Ferox vinyl. He's like, well, you know, that soundtrack wasn't really good. And I said, no, but you know what? Like, I don't really care if it's something I can listen to while I'm at the gym. Like, listening to those kind of vinyls, it's more about the atmospheric aspect of it for me, you know? Like, especially something like Cannibal Ferox, where it's got that Italian giallo feel. Like, Lucio Fulci, not even just the visuals, half of what made Lucio Fulci film so good was just how creepy the soundtrack was.
Like, yeah.
It had just this unnerving element to it. And that's what I really like, you know? You just put that on and I can listen to anything that Goblin does at any time. And they did, you know, the Suspiria soundtrack. They did Day of the Dead, and or maybe it was Dawn of the Dead. But either way, the
sound of the Dead.
One of the Deads. But the soundtrack itself was just so eerie and so ominous the entire time. Like, you don't listen to The Omen because you want, you know, like, because you want to rock out. You listen to it because you want that unsettling feeling that it offers you.
Yeah. Moving on.
So, once again, like we said, October's supposed to be a hotbed for horror movies. You know what it is a fucking hotbed for? Horror television.
Yeah, we're right in the thick of it right now.
Yeah, American Horror Story is back, and thank God they're going darker again, because Coven was just Warm Babies Bulma call it? Dr. Xavier's School for Young Witches or something. So American Horror Story Freak Show recently premiered, and based on the success of that one episode, which broke all ratings for American Horror Story, they've already been renewed for a fifth season.
That's good.
And from what I've heard, Freak Show is supposed to go back to the feel of season 2 Asylum, where it's just totally fucked, totally dark, twisted, morbid. And based off that first episode, man, I'm totally inclined to believe it, and I loved it.
Yeah, that first episode was pretty incredible. It was one of the first shows I've seen with my wife in a long time, because we don't get to watch too much TV together these days.
Them babies,
and we both just were loving it.
I've never been freaked out by a clown, but that clown was pretty fucking freaky.
The word on the R horror Reddits is that his name is Twisty the Clown.
Don't know how I feel about that, but
don't kill us, Ollie. Don't burn the fucking house down, please.
My wife is trying to just burn the entire house down right now. Yeah. I really like that it took the feel of the 1932 film Freaks, where they're like, don't call us freaks, and they rebel against, you know, you know, the normal society. And it's like, we're fucking people too. And if you don't want to acknowledge us as people, guess what? You're not going to be recognized as a person anymore.
And I also like did you guys watch the HBO series Carnival?
No, you know, I've really wanted to. It only lasted like two seasons,
and it got canceled like any other, like
every good show,
any other good show that comes on. But it has that same sort of feel to it, where you kind of get the feeling that they're sort of some magic behind the scenes happening, and it's the unraveling of the mystery is the fun part.
Definitely. And Jessica Lange and anything she's in is just, she's amazing.
She's supposed to be out after this season, right?
I didn't know.
I think she's, this is last season for her.
I'm pretty glad that, what's her name? Thaisa or Talisa Farmiga isn't in this season.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she'll be back. But Kathy Bates is back, and I love Kathy
that
Bates.
Accent, man. Like I think it's like a Pennsylvania accent, but it's hilarious.
It reminds me of what's her name, Vivica Fox in the. I just listened to the episode of How Did This Get Made with Tyler Perry's Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Oh, good Lord.
And they were making fun of Vivica Fox's French accent, and that's kind of the vibe I got with Kathy Bates. Whatever, you know, East Coast, Northern East Coast accent.
Yeah, it's weird, but it works. I like it.
And while we're on the topic of horror television, I'm kind of disappointed that you haven't watched The Walking Dead yet.
Yeah, man, it's just there's very little room for extracurricular activities these days.
You know, and I know we've kind of reached a point of full of who gives a fuck when it comes to Walking Dead, but that new episode is so good. It had every single thing you could want from a Walking Dead episode. It was a little light on the zombies, which, you know, I guess we've come to expect from Walking Dead.
Yeah, which is pretty normal for Walking Dead.
But it was just blood and guts from the get-go, and there was just awesome character development. They brought back old characters you haven't seen in a long time. And speaking of our horror, I think we saw Andrea in zombie form in this first episode.
Did we?
Don't
spoil too much for me, buddy.
No, I'm just going to say there's a blonde-haired zombie who's wearing clothes that look very similar to hers, and they have handcuffs on one wrist. And the internet is all abuzz that's Andrea.
Okay, okay.
And I'd really like to think that I actually got to see that bitch dead, because I fucking hated Andrea.
She sucks.
She sucks so bad.
Sucks so many dicks.
So does Daryl, but...
All right, well, I'll watch it soon. Probably in the next couple days.
And you know what else we're going to get to watch soon? The Babadook!
Yeah, man.
We have been dying to see the Babadook for almost a year.
I've been trying to send people money to watch this thing, but nobody's going for it.
No, it premiered in the UK, I want to say like a year ago, and it premiered at Sundance this year, and
everybody in Australia has seen this movie by now, and we've just been wallowing in the mire.
But you know what? I'm really hoping it's worth the wait. To me, it looks worth the wait. And
everybody that I've spoken to, everybody that I've read typed responses to has loved it, so I don't know how it can be bad at this point.
Well, but then there's that whole grain of salt thing, you know, we have to kind of, I almost feel like I have to go against what I hear,
just not, hate it,
not intentionally, but it's like if everybody loves it, I'm kind of like to the inclination that I'm going to hate it and vice versa. And I don't want to do that, but that's just...
You kind of do, though. I get the feeling you kind of do.
That just tends to be my track record.
Oh, man.
So this... we're back in regular form this week.
Ugh,
this,
we watched the movie. Gross. Yeah,
we got another movie review. And... For the two of you that have followed us from the beginning, you may have noticed that when you're going through chronological order on either our website or on iTunes, episode 5 is missing.
It's just missing?
It's just not there. There is no episode 5.
We went from 4 to 6.
We just said, fuck it. And there's a pretty good reason for that. We did, when we did episode 5, we did ABCs of Death. And it was the first and only episode we've ever done that was a two-part episode, because it was so fucking long-winded and we hit on every single.
Yeah, that was at the point where we basically went on a blow-by-blow plot discussion, and you know, we were getting our legs under us. Sorry.
We were still a baby podcast, yeah. You know, we still cared about what we were doing.
The first part, so we basically broke it into two halves. And the first night, we were both tired. I think we were both exhausted, in fact.
Well, I think we were kind of drunk. I think we actually were editing episode 4 before we recorded.
Right.
We spent over an hour editing episode 4 with our good friend Amigo the Devil. And then we had to go back, and I don't remember if we had to rewatch or George just hadn't watched the latter half of the movie, but we had to watch at least an hour of the movie for whatever reason, and then we went into the discussion.
Yeah.
So by the time we got halfway through the film, it was pretty close to midnight, and we were exhausted. And we said, fuck it, we'll just pick up on, you know, the weekend.
And we did like a Saturday morning, like 11
o'clock. Like 11 a.m. and George had no coffee. And
Would
I was.
You keep saying that, but I.
You're a savage, but I didn't have coffee. Like, and I was just.
Who has
dead,
coffee? Come on.
I was just dead to the world. And that episode wound up. I was going to say being a steaming turd, but considering some of the other episodes we haven't posted, like.
Yeah, I know it. I've toyed with the idea of releasing all of our shit episodes at some point, kind of like as a.
We'll do like some other podcast and charge you $1 for all of the shit that we
post. Dang. Those fighting words. We don't want to fight. We don't want to fight.
Don't
but anywho, we watched ABCs of Death 2.
And I'm actually glad we did.
Yeah.
Like leaps and bounds better than the original. And I had no hope for this.
Yeah, no.
I was just like, if the original was so bad, how are they going to make it better? Which I guess there's nowhere to go but up, right?
Yeah, this.
For one, it doesn't have Adam Wingard in it, so I'm cool with that.
The first one, by and large, was terrible.
I'd say there was maybe 5 to 8 out of 26 that were good.
Yeah, and in the sequel, the number 2, I would even say
it's
the ratio
reversed.
Is flipped.
Yeah. There's maybe 5 that I really
and
didn't
even
like.
And even the ones that I didn't like weren't terrible. They just something about them.
Upon going through like on my second watch of this film and taking my notes, there was only one that I just like rolled my eyes and face palmed, and I won't tell you which one it was, but my notes were stupid as fuck, horrible. At least it's short.
Okay, so let's see how good our barometer is here. So let's see if we agree here. There was I had 1, 2, 3 that I disliked, and 2 that I just outright did not like.
2 that you absolutely hated?
Yeah. The 2 that I disliked the most. I didn't absolutely hate them, but not so good.
There was one that I absolutely hated.
Which one was that?
That was H's for Head Games.
Really?
I couldn't get into it, man, you know, because like there was back in the day, I can't even remember what it was. MTV had some show called like Liquid Television or something where it was all animations. And there was this sketch, like literally like hand sketched artwork.
Oh, I remember
of this guy
now.
Like picking his nose,
yeah.
All this other stuff. And that was cool and that was original. But in this one, the H is for Head Games was basically these two people. It's like a stationary background with just pencil sketches of these two people who were kissing. And then their tongues start attacking each other and their eyelashes. And like I really just couldn't get behind it. And to be 100% honest, it made me mad. Like,
wow, really?
I got so mad at that. I'm like, why would you fuck up the perfectly good flow of this movie with this abomination?
Wow.
I was so mad.
I'm gonna disagree with you on this one.
You liked H's
I actually
Games?
Did. In fact, it's got a 1 star for me. Out of 3.
This one got a 1 out. Okay, so that's a 33%. So that's still like,
well, no,
below
but
an F.
No, but see, no. So my scale, my scale went 3 positive and 3 negative. So it's
okay,
six,
so it goes to negative 3.
6-point swing.
Okay, so it's got like a solid D, maybe a D plus.
It's a positive. It's a positive.
If I was on the same scale as you, this would have probably got a negative 3.
I liked it. I liked the animation style. In fact, I liked there was only 2 non-live action short films. This one and another one that we'll talk about in a little bit.
That I'm fairly certain is in both of our top
three. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I liked it. I liked the animation style. I liked the it felt less like a horror film and more of like a metaphor.
Well, but you know, this is a horror film. I personally felt like the director, and his name was Bill Blumpkin. I felt like he got like some little kid's keyboard that had a bunch of sound effects, and he's like, I'm going to use every single one of these sound effects and just draw some shit to it. Because there was like glass breaking, there was weird like alien ray gun sounds, and I absolutely...
And doesn't that make you want to watch it? Come on, guys.
Yeah, so good. Go to Kmart and buy like a little kid's zapper pistol for $5.
I think this is probably the one we'll disagree the most on.
Probably, because I absolutely... That was the one that I took the fattest shit on. Like, wow. I just really could not get behind. And honestly, that was probably the only one that I actually... hated, like hated. Everything else I was like, either like, this is awesome, or like, hey, this isn't half bad.
Okay,
but yeah, H is for Head Games. So what was the other one that you didn't like?
I did not like Nexus.
See,
oh, okay. I fucking hated it. I will openly admit I hated it.
Tell me why. Because first of all, Franken tits.
So it has such a stupid atmosphere right from the get-go. Like, it's a fucking H&M ad in horror film style. And I go, who is this guy that I can almost see his wiener? Like, I don't give a shit.
Oh, that dude really needed to trim his bush.
I don't give a shit about wiener. I don't, like, I don't, I'll watch the hell out of some dick.
Well, there was no dick, and I don't mind a girl with a little hair down there, but this dude had like the fucking Amazon rainforest just peeking out. You didn't see any dong neck because there was so much foliage just right there.
It felt like a commercial. For what? Shitty horror movie. And also, it had this stupid callback to Your Next.
It was basically a bunch of people in Halloween costumes. There was a Frankenstein going to meet his Franken bride. And I'm guessing...
Not Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster, buddy.
I'm sorry. I feel like an asshole now, but I do stand corrected. It was Frankenstein's monster going to meet the bride of Frankenstein, and there's a bunch of people in costumes, so you're assuming they're going to a Halloween party or something.
Right.
But at one point, you do see some guy wearing the stupid wolf mask from Your Next.
And so I looked it up, and I was just on the Wikipedia page for this film, and sure enough, the director's mentor is listed as Ty West.
But this is what I wanted to tell you earlier. I was holding out. Do you know who the director is?
No, I glossed over it because my eyes were burned from the shit.
The director is Dustin with an S. Think about that.
Is it really Sustin?
It's Sustin. It's Larry Fassbenden. Fassbenden. Larry Fassbenden directed that one.
Well, he needs to take a cue from our old buddy Chad Kinkle and just quit it.
Well, you're saying Chad Kinkle should quit directing?
No, I'm saying he should quit whatever he's doing with Ty West and hang out with Chad more.
Oh, he should. I honestly did like Nexus. Like,
you would.
Well, maybe not as a whole, but
as a whole.
Okay,
wait, hold on.
I liked the Franken tits, obviously, because this was only one of three that had boobs in it, and I was kind of disappointed by that. But I did like a lot of the camera angles. Like, it felt like a lot of it had GoPro angles. Yeah, geeky. But
it's not what I would call you ever.
But the Frankenstein mask, I really, really liked that mask. And at the end of it.
Oh, okay. You're right. Movie was great.
No. I'm not saying it was great. Like, as a whole, like, script wise and et cetera, like. But granted, I don't think Sustin wrote the script. It just says he directed it. I don't know who wrote it. Like, it's not an entertaining skit, whatever the fuck you'd call it, sketch. I don't fucking know. But the camera angles I really liked. The Frankenstein mask was beautiful. And like just the shots of his eyes in that Frankenstein mask, like at the climax of that short film, whatever, when you see Frankenstein's face, Frankenstein's monster's face for the last time, that actually kind of sent chills down my spine. He just had these really dead eyes, and that mask, it was just a paper mache Frankenstein's monster mask, but I really, really liked the way that mask looked.
Hmm.
I really did.
Okay.
But it also had Franken boobs, so I also like Franken boobs.
So that bumped it up to a 1 star, maybe even 2.
Maybe 1.25 stars.
Yeah,
I didn't hate it. I can definitely say that.
I didn't like it. And the other one that I really disliked was G for Granddad. Not into it.
I laughed my ass off at G for Granddad. Like, why didn't you? I know you said you wanted to stab your eyes out on G for Granddad. And I can admit, when you see, I'm going to just throw out a number and say 80-year-old man in his fucking da-dun-da-duns, and he pulls down his pants, and he's got like the darkest of the hillside thicket growing out of his crotch, and these big saggy hairy balls and no wiener. But
I guess I just didn't really see the point. And I know when we're talking about, you know, this short film format, when you get 4 minutes, 5 minutes max, it's hard to you know, make a clear, concise point. But I just didn't like it. Like, I was sitting there and I go, okay, this is a really unlikable character, the grandson. Okay, this is also another unlikable character, the granddad. I have two unlikable characters. Who the fuck am I supposed to be rooting for? I
like the granddad. Like, I thought he was hilarious. I mean, my grandpa, I love the shit out of my grandpa. If my grandpa was a little bit funnier like that guy, because tell me you weren't cracking up when the grandson goes into bed and he calls his granddad a wanker and he starts hearing this voice. And you
call him a twat.
Or, yeah, something like that. And you assume that, thank you, you assume that the voice is coming from the other side of the wall, and he starts freaking out. And finally he pulls back the covers and the granddad had cut this perfect body shaped hole in the mattress.
Stupid.
That he's, I mean, yeah, it was stupid, but to me it was funny. Like, that one was way more funny than horrifying at all. But it had so many great one-liners, like the "I'm absolutely loving it." Yeah, this is real gold. It'd look a lot better hanging off your tits, love. Like, I fucking died watching that. That shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
You weren't feeling it at all.
I was not feeling it. No.
Oh, man.
All right, well, I've spoken enough about my dislikes and likes. Let
me ask you this. What did you think about E for Equilibrium? The two guys on the deserted island.
Did not like.
I was really confused. Like, when I first saw
you know, it seemed we went into it saying we really liked the whole thing, but now we're, you know, shitting on
it.
But,
you
know, we're talking about the ones we don't really like.
It wasn't that I didn't like that one. I was really confused by the turn of events in it.
I did dig the camera trickery that they were doing.
I guess you can't call them tracking shots, but it was a continuous shot.
Yeah,
where
they were doing some cool stuff with continuous shots where, you know, action would happen on a pan left, and then the camera would pan right, and there would be another, like, you know.
The guys were basically running behind the camera to appear on the other
side
of the camera.
And that stuff was cool. I enjoyed the camera trickery.
The cinematography. I really liked that. I mean, but, and at first, when I saw the first still of that, because there was a website that, well, I'll go ahead and say it, bloodydisgusting.com posted a screenshot of every single short story in the film. And when I saw the one for E is Equilibrium, I thought maybe Rob Zombie directed it. Because that dude, tell me that guy didn't kind of look like he could be Rob Zombie's brother.
A little
right?
bit, yeah.
Right? I called it Deserted Island Duck Dynasty because they both look like they belonged on Duck Dynasty. But there's two guys and they're on a deserted island. They find this woman, and they kind of both, I guess, are into her, and then she picks one of them and they fight over her, and then they eventually kill her for no apparent reason, and they're like, yeah, high five, bro, let's get
the whole deal is, I mean, E for equilibrium was that she threw off the balance, and what they were trying to do was regain balance, but I just don't,
that's why we have a show, so you can point out the obvious to me, because I'm just like, what the fuck, like, why weren't you both just double stuffing this Oreo? But
wow, good lord,
my notes actually say missed boob shot opportunity, 10 out of 10, would bang.
Okay, well, yeah, I just not one of the better ones.
No, and honestly, those and K for Nell were the only ones that I really wasn't behind.
You didn't like Nell?
I'm gonna be honest. I guess I just didn't get it.
Okay, I mean that's valid.
Can you explain what I missed? Like, I really have no idea what was going on. There was like this woman in her apartment painting her nails, and she hears a noise and looks out the window. And there's this weird black...
Come on, didn't you like the sphere effect? That was pretty dope.
No, that was, but I have no fucking clue what it was. There was this weird black liquid sphere in the sky, and the apartment building across the street, every single window in the apartment building, somebody was getting murdered.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then at the same time, they all stop and they all look at the woman, and I like that. That was really creepy. And then there's a knock on the door, which I really liked, which is really creepy. And then out of nowhere... the peephole starts bleeding this black blood of the earth. Big Trouble in Little China reference. And then the woman there starts going Carrie from her vagina. And the...
Well, she kind of starts bleeding from all of her orifices.
My notes actually say black blood from peephole, blood from peehole.
Wow.
And
you do know that the blood doesn't come out of the peehole, right?
Yeah. In this one, I'm going to assume it did.
Okay.
Just for phonetic sake.
It's an orifice.
Yeah. But, the blood, the red blood and the black blood mix together, and there's this flashback, and then it's like over. Like, I really have no fucking idea what was going on, what they were going for. That one, like.
It lost you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean...
Not necessarily that you were confused, but it just lost you pace-wise.
Exactly, yeah. Up until when the blood started flowing out of the door and out of her, I was totally behind that one, and then I was just like, wait, what just happened?
Okay, I mean, I can understand that. It wasn't great, but I liked it. I mean, I liked the... First off, that sphere... black liquid effect that, at the beginning was
really cool,
really dope.
I really wish I would have known what it was, though. Like that.
Well, I think it's what he was trying to do, and I kind of assumed the director was a he. Well, I could be wrong.
The director's name was Christina something. I'm not gonna try and pronounce.
Oh God, I'm so sexist.
And
fuck.
Well, and Bruno Samper. So well, it anywho, was a man and woman.
Well, so, you know, what I took away from it was that the black sphere was sort of a calling to arms, if you will. And that whatever that was infected the people in that building across the way.
Okay.
And obviously it affected people in certain and different ways. So in that building, it made people homicidal, and maybe in this one, it made them more receptive to the goo.
Was she like the one who was supposed to battle the evil?
Possibly. I don't know.
Like, and see, that's
it's a short film, bro. I don't.
Exactly, and that's kind of the downfall.
Whoa,
whoa.
Breaking news. We have kinetic sand on the table. What?
Alia has been all about that shit for like a week. She's been playing with it nonstop. She posted like 9 videos on Facebook, subsequently deleting each one until she found the best one. But
I'm gonna have to dig my fingers into that.
Yeah. We've got some magic mushrooms if you want to try them before you play with it.
Both of them?
Yeah.
All right, well, moving on.
But okay, so for this movie having so little that we didn't like, we've harped on it long enough. let's go into the shit that we did like, because there was so much that I did like.
Yeah, no, really, the, you know, we've been kind of critical of the ones that were I guess lower. I don't want to say quality, but that we, you know, we didn't like quite as much.
It just wasn't in our wheelhouse as
much.
But
those were, I mean, even those were real decent. Like I said, and large, the worst ones from this film
were better than the
best ones of the last one.
I don't know about the best ones, but 90% of the other ones. And like I said, I only hated one. Like this one, I only hated Head Games. But why don't we go ahead and start with the one that we both absolutely love, that is definitely in our top.
Are you talking about M for Masticate?
No, I was actually talking about D for Deloused.
D for Deloused was hands down my favorite.
Hands down the most what the fuck out of everything in this movie, out of everything in the last movie, out of most of the shit I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah, so it's a claymation style short film.
You know, it actually reminded me a lot of a Tool video.
Yeah, well, dude, when I first saw the little dude like laying on,
you're
the,
like, oh, what's up, sober?
I'm like, what's going on? What's going on?
I knew there was at least one claymation.
I was hoping that there was going to be a meat tube somewhere.
You're all about that meat tube, huh?
Hey, you know what are you going to do? No, dude, this was, it was a little bit mind blowing because. Just the gross little figures everything
like,
was awesome.
They basically what was the name of that guy from Hannibal that you said?
Mason Verger,
the guy who cuts his own face off and he basically looks like a burn victim. Most of these little claymation people look like essentially burn victims, you know, and it starts where they're putting some kind of like needle and tube and some guy who's tied down
I was trying to spot the differences between the two, like why is the guy who is tied down on the table different than the trio that's trying to, you know, suck his life force out. I couldn't quite spot it. There's got to be something that there's a difference.
I
was thinking it was the eyes. But then one of the other one has an eyeball, and not necessarily, like, that doesn't exactly mean
I'm just assuming it's, like, human nature, man, where they just didn't like that dude.
Maybe.
Like, I have no idea what differentiated the group between that one guy, but... So they're trying to suck this guy's life force out, and there's a cockroach that... I don't even know what the fuck he becomes.
Weird... one of the trio that's sucking the life force out steps on the cockroach and it turns into like a little acid pool, and a giant cockroach thing comes out.
Yeah, like
out
one
of
those
pool.
Crazy.
It's fucking, like, talking about it, it feels like I'm going insane.
Right. It basically looked like one of those giant fire ants from Fallout 3, but like a lot more fucked up.
Yeah.
Like that's all there is to it.
I would hate talking about it more, because it's you kind of have to watch it to really appreciate it, but it's fucking,
like,
weird.
The imagery from start to finish is just incredibly crazy. There's really no words except for this ominous repeating voice in the background just saying you pay for life over and over and over again. And oh, dude, that weird creature that was in the cockroach's butt, it was like...
It's an upside-down panda, yeah.
It was like a panda with a clown face on one end and a panda head on the other end. But
like,
the panda head...
It's us, like, talking about it.
It just sounds like absolute absurdity.
It sounds like
and it
nonsense.
Is, but
yeah.
I'm not kidding. That was... It wasn't my favorite, but that was one of the most awesome things I've seen in a long
time. You were talking about earlier about old MTV animation, what was it, Head Soup?
Head TV, I think.
No, whatever it was, but it felt like that. It felt like when we were kids and just watching, like, you know, Aeon Flux or, you know, The Head or The Max, just like looking at it and just like, what is going on?
It felt like you were on drugs without being on drugs, but if you were on drugs, it would have been so much crazier.
So as many's betters.
Probably would have cut your own skin off, like, because it was just...
Yeah, that was a good
Holy
one.
Holy shit. Like, if you only watch one thing, like, I don't know if you can probably pull this up on YouTube, but just watch D for DeLoust because, what's his name? Robert Morgan did a fantastic job with that. Whatever he did.
We should try to get this guy on the show. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I'm sure we probably could. I don't know what else he directed. I didn't have a chance to go into all that. But, man, that one just blew my mind from start to
finish.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Yeah, I think that was second favorite for me.
What was your favorite?
You're not going to like it.
Probably not.
You're not going to like it. My,
what was it? Tell me.
You're not going to like it. My actual favorite was R for Roulette.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because, I mean, to me, that was... I really liked the ending, and I liked the suspense throughout it, but as a whole, I was just kind of like, seen this done before.
So R for Roulette, basically imagine Inglourious Basterds, and it's that sort of... It has that sort of feel, you know, like a World War II era.
You ready to go to your facepalming me again?
You've never seen Inglourious Basterds.
I got through like 10 minutes. I'm like, this is bullshit, and I turned it off.
You're a son of a bitch.
I couldn't get past the opening scene. I was like, this is slow. I'm fucking bored. Let's watch something else.
Well, anywho. It has a real World War II feel to it, and it's three people, two guys and a woman playing Russian roulette. And it was really weird because when they loaded the round into the revolver, at one point they had said, "Don't cheat this time."
Oh, because see, I was gonna say my impression of Russian roulette was you spin it every time, and that's where the roulette comes in. You don't play until somebody dies or somebody finds the bullet.
Right, and so that was the first thing to me that was like, okay, there's something real strange, you know, going on here.
Well, and I thought he told her don't cheat because she held the gun to her, like the woman was the first one to pull the trigger, and she held the gun to her head
kind of
at an angle. Yeah. And
he wasn't telling her not to cheat, but he didn't want to deal with somebody with a head wound that didn't kill themselves, because that's agony. Like if you miss when you try to commit suicide, like with a head wound, you it's agony.
And apparently, you would think shooting yourself in the head is a surefire way, but apparently most people who shoot themselves in the head end up surviving. Because you have to be incredibly precise with that.
And it's an awful existence.
I would assume so.
So yeah, they kind of go back and forth. They make I think they make almost three rounds of the Russian roulette part, and then it ends up that the woman is the one that's going
to
take the
bullet. No, they get to the absolute last round. It's a six shooter.
Yeah, certainty.
They get to the sixth bullet, and the man is supposed to, is basically the one who ends up with a bullet. And he turns the gun on the woman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm misremembering that
part. Then the thing that really confused me was after the guy shot and killed the woman, they were kind of on edge because they heard the shot and they were coming.
Yeah, so, and it sounded like kind of creatures coming from upstairs.
So why would you be playing Russian roulette if you didn't want to draw attention to yourself? Like,
well,
I assume they were like prisoners.
That's,
you know?
Why I liked it. It seemed like they had some sort of reason why they were playing Russian roulette. And I got the feeling that whatever was upstairs was forcing them to do it.
Do you think they only had one bullet and it was kind of like, who's the one that gets to
leave? Oh, you might be right on that.
Like, who's the one that gets to leave?
Yeah. You might be right on that.
Like,
I hadn't thought of it that way.
That whole short kind of confused me. That makes
it even better.
That does make it better when you think of it that way, but because I really had no idea what was going on. Like, Russian roulette in itself is really scary.
Breaking news times two. Matt Smith just blew my fucking mind.
Wow. I'm good for some things on occasion. But that one, I mean, as a whole, Russian roulette is even when you're, I've never played, obviously, but when you're watching it, it's really tense because you don't know.
We could play pizza roulette.
I'm totally down with that. You know what's awesome too is hot wing roulette. You get like a bunch of hot wings and you get one that's like beyond atomic, like fire.
The ghost pepper wing.
I totally wouldn't even notice if I ate it though.
Yeah.
Like, but that was the thing. Like Russian roulette is really unnerving and you're really tense and you're always waiting for that round to go off.
You know what? Your point that you made makes it even more my favorite.
Oh, well then I'm glad.
Thank you.
But, you know what my favorite is? Well, you already know. But
well, I already said it earlier. I blew my wad earlier.
My favorite is M for masticate.
And it was really good. Yeah, that was really good.
For those of you non-English scholars, masticate means basically to chew, to eat, etc. And all you see is slow motion video of... did you ever see that the band was called Wax and the song was called Southern California, where the guy is slow motion running down the street and he's on fire and the song is like a minute long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the entire thing is basically a guy, a big fat guy, super hairy, really sweaty, running down the street with white contacts in. I mean, you're not supposed to think they're contacts, but he's just running down the street. And everybody's freaking out, and I was laughing my ass off because he's just like face-palming people and pushing people off, and eventually he dives on this guy and starts chewing on this guy's face, and he gets shot in the head, and like that alone is cool enough.
Yeah, it was a cool little scene.
But then it says like 53 minutes earlier. 34 minutes earlier, and... you basically see this guy slap down a baggie on the table that looks like cocaine, and the fat guy kind of nods and goes, "Fuck yeah, I'll do some bath salts."
Yeah.
And I lost my shit.
Yeah,
it was so hilarious.
I was watching the movie in my living room, and I kind of try to keep it down because the kid is sleeping, dude. I was like laughing so hard I thought I was gonna wake my kid up. I was dying, dude.
And this movie had a lot of really, really funny stuff. Like, L for Legacy wasn't supposed to be funny, I don't think. But I lost my shit on L for Legacy.
Which one was Legacy?
That was the one with the African tribe.
Oh, God. Dude. I don't want to get into it. I did not. That was another one of my not-likes.
Incredibly low budget. Horribly fantastic acting.
Yeah, dude, and then the monster.
The monster basically looked like a live action man bear pig.
It looked like decoupage, like horns on the face. It was just bad.
I loved it, but I loved it because of its absurdity. Like yeah, that's why it was so good to me.
Yeah, we could really keep talking about these fuckers for another, I think probably another hour, because we've got...
Yeah, we could easily turn this into a two. There is one I do want to touch on, though.
Go for it.
J for Jesus.
I like J for Jesus.
I loved it.
It was neat because it sort of turned like evangelicism on its head, and you know, you had I don't want to talk about it too much, but you know, it turned the whole, you know, religious thing into, you know, basically a monster movie.
In the essence of Pray the Gay Away, the people doing the prayers, the people trying to exorcise the gay demon, were really the demons themselves.
Yeah.
And I love those masks.
Yeah, like, the masks were really cool.
I want one of those masks so bad.
The makeup on the gay boyfriend that got killed was really cool. I just that one was really well done. I enjoyed that one a lot.
I really did.
I'm surprised you liked that one.
You know, like obviously at first when it's just like a minute and a half of two dudes making out, I'm kind of like, God damn it! Like, okay, where is this going?
You're like, now I got to take my pants off.
Yeah, right. You know, like I got to take my pants off because they're putting a battery cable up to this guy's testicles, and that's pretty hot. And you know, like, but no, that one, like,
that
it,
one was
it really, it really took a turn that I wasn't expecting. And
you know, maybe what we'll do is. Because we're a little bit long in the tooth right now with this particular episode, maybe we can sort of at the end of one of our other episodes tie together the last few ones that we want to talk about. But we're almost at an hour here, and let's flush this turd.
You know, I, as a whole, watch this fucking movie.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm aping another podcast that I've been listening to, but this is a strong recommend.
Yeah, I really wasn't a big fan of the first one, and it really took us a lot to get through the episode.
We probably kind of sound like idiots talking about this movie because we sort of were gushing over a lot of different things, but it's
worthy of gushing.
Yeah,
I would honestly, and that's an odd feat for us. Like, we usually don't. Not only do we usually not agree on how we feel about a movie, but we usually don't feel so strongly about it. We're not so like emphatic in our love.
Well, and also the episodes in which we agree that we like a movie usually are kind of boring, but. You know, I think
like we both love The Thing, man. But that episode, it was just like how much can you circle jerk a great movie?
Yeah, no, it's definitely got its low points. I mean, that there's no mistaking that there is segments that are not very good.
But you get.
But by and large, I think you're right that I even want to go so far as to say that the overall tone of the segments feel unified.
They do. It felt like a cohesive unit. And I mean, you get a good amount of funny. You get a good amount of lighthearted in a sense. You get a good amount of really fucked up. Like, T is for torture porn. Really well, fucked
and
up.
And not only that, but, you know, for fans of, you know, of gore, there's a great amount of gore from start to finish.
You know, and one we didn't touch on was the very, very first thing you see, A for Amateur. That had everything.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That had tons of boobs. It had good gore. It had a pretty interesting story. Had a good amount of comic relief. That, I feel, was at least anthology-wise, that was one of the best starts to an anthology I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. In fact, when I was about two in, maybe three in, I texted Matt and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
He's like, this movie is good.
Yeah. Good.
So far.
Yeah.
I was like, are you asking me? And he's like, no, I'm just fucking flabbergasted.
Yeah. I was really impressed from the get go. And despite, you know, there's a couple missteps here and there, but, you know,
it starts strong, it finishes strong.
Even the missteps, I feel that probably they're inexperienced directors. You know, case in point, you know, we got Sustin up in here. That
I may not have liked the story in that one, but direction wise, I really liked that one. Like, there was only one that I really didn't like.
And even that, you could argue, you know, it's just a matter of taste.
Right.
But, you know, it's, I don't know. Go watch it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's VOD right now.
It's VOD that we paid for.
Yeah. And iTunes, VOD, I'm sure within the next, like, 12 hours, it's probably going to be on DVD and Blu-ray and.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap things up as far as our movie review right now.
Yep. And this is probably going to be the only episode you get before Halloween. We may release a little something short, but we really, really want to encourage all of you to come out and join us at the Fantastic Horror Film Fest.
Of course, it's dicks.
Yep. What's dicks? Oh, Alia made a dick out of kinetic sand.
I was waiting for it. I was like, when's Ollie going to make a dick?
Could you expect anything less from my lovely wife?
Absolutely not.
She's officially changed her name to my lovely wife, Alia. But we really encourage you guys to come out and join us at the Fantastic Horror Film Fest. It's going to be something really awesome for San Diego because fuck LA. LA gets everything cool, and this is something we can all get behind. Yeah. And there's not a whole lot for us horror lovers out there, so check out fhffsd.org. Buy tickets. Come out. Meet George, Alia, Warm Babies, and I. And
a little selfishly, You know, we also appreciate every review you guys can give us. I mean, I know it's a trivial thing as far as, you know, you hopping on iTunes and giving us a quick review, but it really helps. And, you know,
this is a labor of love for us. We do this to be able to talk about something we love and to be able to meet people who love the same thing. So any feedback you guys give us, whether it's a like on Facebook, a comment, yeah,
shoot us an email, something you want us to talk about. I mean, anything.
It helps us more than you can understand, and we're eternally grateful.
And also internally.
Internally. In my heart, I'm very grateful for all the support and love that you guys give us.
Yeah,
and
I would like us to interact with the people that listen to our show a little bit more. So
come out to our Frights and Pints. That's the best fucking way.
Well, that, and, you know, if you guys have ideas for future shows that you want us to hit, movies that you want us to watch, you know, anything along those lines, shoot us an email, hit us up on Instagram, on Facebook. You know all the links. The website's pretty friggin' obvious. Check it out. Tell your friends, please, I guess.
And if we can name drop just real quick and spread the love a little bit, our good friend Amigo the Devil has new music coming out for the first time in a long time. He's doing a split with some band whose name I can't remember at the moment, but it's coming out on Ear Split Records, and it's going to be a split 7-inch from what I remember.
Oh, I love vinyl so much.
And really check him out. He does our theme song. He's a fucking amazing guy. His fiance Haley is awesome and has done a lot of cool stuff for our show. So show them some love too. And once again, thank you guys. And be safe on Halloween, but get into some shit.
Whatever you do, Uber home.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we want to say. All right, guys.
Because then at least you have somebody who can vouch for your whereabouts.
This is Who Goes There podcast, signing off for episode 29. Good night, everybody.
Oh, and since we missed it, I'm Matt Smith.
This is Jorge.
And we should have done that at the beginning.
Good night.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.